Hello, everyone, and welcome to Thrifters Villa, a podcast for resellers and entrepreneurs. I'm Daniela, and today we are bringing back another reunion tour episode, and this week it is with Denali, aka El Dujo Thrift. Denali was on here in season one of our first episodes, and I can't wait to sit down with her and catch up and see where her business is now and all the crazy things that happened over the last few years. So sit back and we'll see you at the table. Hey everyone. So I have Denali here. You're our second Thrifters Villa reunion tour guest that we're going to have on.
Thank you. I'm so excited to be here.
Yes, I'm so excited
to talk to you. And I'm sorry that I missed Jen, but it sounds like she's having a grand old time.
She is. She's having wine right now.
Oh, well, I mean,
which
I
we're not doing.
We could have planned this better.
We could.
I mean, yeah, it's not 9 o'clock here, but it is at your.
It is here.
Yeah, it is for you. So cheers. Cheers, yes. Jen.
So I'm excited to have you on. I think this will be a great conversation because A, you were here season one, episode like 5, like one of the first people to come on. Yeah, I don't really remember what episode it is, but it's one of the first ones. And you are in a totally different place in your business now compared to then. And I just think it'll be so fun to just walk down memory lane, basically, and
definitely
talk about where you are now and how all those transitions happened. Because the pandemic, I feel like, was the highlight of your career. It was. It like sent you in a direction that I don't think you even anticipated that you were going to go in.
No, not at all. Not at all. Yeah.
And your podcast is back out and there's so many things and people love you. And I think they kind of missed you in the reselling space because you took a step back, which we've all done. And we both highly recommend doing so. I think taking a step back is one of the most important things anyone can do when they're in this.
For sure. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So let's rewind. When we talked, you came on specifically to talk about eBay. That was like what the main thing was. And I guess, I mean, we could do an intro. Some people listening might not know who you are. So how about you do that first and just tell everyone who you are.
Okay. Well, I'm Denali and I've been full-time reselling since July 7th, 2017. That was a day.
I love how you know the date.
I do. You know, it's funny. I wouldn't have thought that I would remember, but then I celebrate it every year, whether I post online about it or not. So July 7th, 2017 was my last day at my job. I had been working in HR for many years, and then I gave my employer 2 months' notice. I had discovered I'd always loved reselling, but I didn't know you could do it as a full-time job. Yeah. It's funny. It makes me think of the movie The 40-Year-Old Virgin. Oh. And there's the woman who runs the eBay store. Mm-hmm. And I remember thinking when I saw that movie, I was like, how does she do that as a job though? Like, what is she selling? How could you have enough things? I wasn't even thinking like, how do you acquire things, you know?
Right.
And so I had discovered reselling full time 6 months prior to when I quit my job. And then I told my husband, I think I want to have a life change and I want to do this thing that I've loved full time for the rest of my life. And thank God he's my husband and he understands me. And yeah, so made that big decision, gave 2 months at my job and quit in July. And I started out selling on eBay primarily. And then I saw people were posting about this other website called Poshmark. And so then I signed up for Poshmark. I think I probably joined the app in 2017, but I didn't sell my first item until the beginning of 2018. And then it's just kind of snowballed from there, I guess. Yeah. And it'll be 6 years this July, which is cool. You know?
Yeah.
I guess it's cool.
It is cool.
It's been fun. Yeah, it's been fun. I love it, you know. But I do, you know, I work a lot. It's not been an easy or it's been a fun journey. It's not always fun 100% of the time. And it does feel like a job. You know, I took something on that was fun and a side hobby, but it definitely is a job. This is my source of income because I did have to replace the income for my family. Yeah.
And when you had originally come on, you did not have the space that you're in now. We had talked about it. Maybe, I don't know if it's in the recording, I don't remember, but offline, we knew that you were looking into acquiring a space for your business because you had found that you were just outgrowing what you had and you really wanted to take it to the next step. And And you got there. And you got there, I think, a lot quicker than you anticipated.
Absolutely. Yeah. So I think it was in, gosh, I can't remember.
I think it was 2019, right?
Was the
or was it 2018?
No, it was, I think it was the end of 2019. I had moved into, I think it was only,
it was an office.
Yeah, I want to say like maybe 100 or 200 square feet.
Yeah.
So it was a fairly small space. And I was so excited to be in there and take the business out of my house because it had been in my house for about 2.5 years at that point. And for me, I don't have a big home. So it was just everywhere. It was explosive in the house. I wish I had a basement or some other like an outdoor barn or something that I could have stored the business on, because I like the idea of being close to the home in that way. But unfortunately, yeah, I didn't have it. So I found a space that rented month to month, which was great. Worked for somebody who didn't know where their business possibly could be a few months from any point. And so that was at the end of 2019. And then something happened in 2020.
Yeah. Yep, something did happen.
That nobody could predict. And I got a letter or an email from the manager of the building that I was at in March. And it said, you know, hey, this thing is happening. The pandemic is happening. And the landlord has said, typically you need to give them like a month's notice before you leave. But if you need to leave, given the circumstances, you can get out of your lease immediately, like by the end of the month, basically.
You wouldn't
have to wait another month. And I was trying to be, even though I hadn't taken really any big hits yet, nothing had happened too big financially at that point. This was mid to beginning of March when stuff was really amping up. Yeah. But I was like, I need to make a smart financial decision for the business. I'm going to give my notice. And so it was really sad. I, you know, cleaned out the whole unit. I was out of there at the beginning of March, went back to operating it in my house. And then, you know, stores were shutting down. And a friend of mine, a few months prior, before the pandemic, had mentioned liquidation to me. And it was something that I was like, no, thank you. Not for me. Not interested. More money than I want to spend. Right. But then when the stores were closed, it was like, oh my gosh, I'm going to need inventory. And so I explored that idea again. And the first pallet I actually purchased was amazing. I wish I could have a palette like this again. It was, I think, 500 or 600 pairs of New With Tag jeans. And it looked like, and it was from Nordstrom. It looks like they had just, the employees in the store had just taken all the jeans off the shelf and dumped them into this palette. It was amazing. And it was more jeans than I knew what to do with. I think I actually did some like small reseller denim boxes at the time because it was, I had so much stuff. And that helped my business grow. And, you know, it kind of continued to spiral from that. And I think not long after, I think by, gosh, I want to say May, I was contacting the manager of the building again and saying, hey, do you have any spaces? And by June, I was back in the building in a larger unit that was maybe around 300 or 400 square feet. And then throughout the rest of the year, I think I acquired another spot in the building that was maybe another 100 square feet. We outgrew that. Then we went to another 300 square foot unit in the building. Plus, I had a storage unit offsite, two storage units that were about 600 square feet in total. So, you know, I'm starting to do the math on what I'm paying for all these separate units, and I'm getting close to the point of, does it make sense to just have a warehouse space?
Right.
And that had always been maybe a dream of mine. And so I had some warehouse spaces that were in my area that I'd always driven past. And I mentioned to Daniela beforehand, I would point at them and say, someday I'm going to be there. And I reached out to a few places. I had always casually been flirting with the leasing people. Just said the idea of like, hey, what do you got? What's available? And so there ended up being this unit coming available, the one I'm in now today. And the price worked for me. The lease terms worked for me. I thought, okay, if all else fails, I think even if I have no more business for whatever period of time,
right,
I've got enough money in the bank account that I could pay this off if I never sold anything again. So that's always been my fallback, is like, can I just pay the lease? You know what I mean?
Right.
Because yeah, that's a big expense. And so, yeah, I've been here now 2 years, which is really exciting. My space it's about 2000 square feet, but it's 1700 square feet on the bottom. And then there's like a mezzanine level. Mm-hmm. That's another like 200-300 square feet above. And amazingly, can you believe it or not, I filled it up real quick. It is full of lots and lots of clothes and a little bit overwhelming at times, but yeah, it's been fun. So that was a very long answer to your question.
But very necessary, because
okay.
It was a transition, right? Like there were small things that happened that then led to the space that you're in. And we had talked, I remember when you called me to tell me that you had acquired mm-hmm. the space, because we had talked about it before and you were like, well, right. I don't know. Like we've kind of been going back and forth, and then it happened. Yeah. And I mean, I was thrilled for you, but you were thrilled for yourself because you had always wanted that. And then with that came employees and mm-hmm. building up an actual staff, which is so crucial to your business. And it's mm-hmm. not what you had before either when we first met. I mean,
not really.
You had one or two, you had a virtual assistant. Like it was very different.
Yeah. At the old space, I did at some point, I did hire somebody to come in. So like the second time I went back into the building, I eventually did end up hiring some part-time employees, only really ever one person at a time, especially given the circumstances during the pandemic, just, you know, small space, not wanting to have a lot of people in there, and then just the amount of work that I could provide for somebody. But once we came to the warehouse, I hired more people than I don't know. I don't want to say more than I had dreamed of, because I kind of dream big. So maybe I met my expectations, but it's still when you think something in your head and you're like, ooh, I really want that to happen, when it actually does happen, it's still really cool and exciting, because you're like, oh my gosh, I actually did it.
Right.
I just told myself I was going to do it, but I didn't think it would actually happen. So yeah, I had a lot of great opportunities during the pandemic, you know, liquidation. I tell people I'll probably never see pallets like that ever again. It was amazing during that time. And because the stores were closed, because retailers and clothing manufacturers and whatever else, they had product that they needed to get rid of. And if you had money, you know, there was opportunity there. Do those same pallets still exist today? Not really. And if anything, my personal experience, I feel like it's become more competitive buying pallets and liquidation, just because, not that this is somehow new and people weren't purchasing this liquidation to resell before, but I think that it's become more widespread because of the internet, you know, mm-hmm. YouTube, TikTok, Instagram, stuff like that. And people are selling it on any number of platforms, eBay, Poshmark, live selling, you know, whatnot, all that sort of stuff. So it has become more competitive in that way. And what I would have paid a couple of years ago, you know, possibly $3,000 for a pallet, is now about $10,000.
I believe that. It just, it's with everything, right? Everything has gone up. But I also think because of the demand of it, and they know people are willing to pay to get it, why not raise the price of it? I mean, it's a business.
Right. Exactly. Yes. I mean, yeah, it's based on market demand. If people have the money and are willing to pay that, and they see the value in that, then that's ultimately what dictates that. So, you know, and people, it's surprising though, because, you know, we're supposed to be in a recession, right? And I would think people would have less money to spend.
I think the general public has less money.
Okay, got it.
But I think that resellers are still in the mindset of like, I need to keep buying, which we can get into that, because my philosophy, I'm sure, well, my philosophy is going to be different than yours, because this is your full-time income. So we're going to differ there. But before I get to that, do you think that the pallets that you guys were getting, and now you guys were posting it, right? All of the OG resellers were posting it, because they had to, I mean, you guys had to make money somehow, right? So you guys were making boxes for people, like you were helping the community. Do you think those initial pallets that everyone got almost jaded the community to think that that's what liquidation is?
Sure. Yeah, definitely. I mean, because in general, right, social media is a highlight reel.
And of course it is, yeah.
you know, so people are only going to show the great items that they purchase. Why would you want to show bad stuff that you're not get? Yeah, right. Because you don't really want to be like, hey, look, I made this foolish purchase. I didn't get great stuff in my palette. And certainly I've purchased bad palettes and paid a ton of money for them. Years ago, I made an Instagram reel or a TikTok video about it where I show a palette that had, I want to keep this as PG as I can, but the easiest thing to say is like human fluids on it.
Oh, God.
All the human fluids, right? So to unbox a palette and find really nice garments in that condition that you paid,
you're talking thousands when you're buying palettes.
Oh, it was or $8,000.
Yeah, it's thousands. For
that palette. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, there were jeans that were just, the butt was busted open. You know what I mean? Like, somebody had worn them for 20 years and then returned them, you know, to Nordstrom. God bless their return policy, right?
Yes.
So,
yes.
So yeah, I mean, it.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
There are highs and lows, and I would say there's more lows in liquidation than people realize, and finding a great liquidator is incredibly hard, and most amazing liquidation sources will not be shared publicly. You know what I mean? That's just the truth. I made, you know, a YouTube video on this a few years ago, but yeah, doing your research on all of that is just the best thing you can do. Yeah, it's kind of trial and error in learning it, you know?
And it's going to differ for each person. Not everyone wants the enormous, you know, 10,000 piece palette.
Oh, totally.
Lots of things. There are smaller companies out there that you can get 50 pieces, 100 pieces. I mean,
totally. Yeah.
I feel like there's more of it now. Mm-hmm. And maybe that was because of the pandemic. It's kind of created all these different businesses to come about. But Google, man, just Google. People that Google. Ask for sources, like, don't do that. People work really hard to get those
sources. It's always so uncomfortable because I love sharing information and helping people. And so it pains me when I have to find a really nice way to say no, because I want to, in my heart of hearts, I want to, but then at the same time, at the end of the day, you have to make smart business decisions for yourself and realize that like, there's only so much you can say, and we can talk around it. Right. And say that Google is a great resource, but I mean, it truly is. And so it's kind of like one of those things that I say, it's like, you can lead a horse to water, but you can't make them drink. If, you know, if you don't want to type in clothing liquidation palettes into Google.
That's literally all you need to type
in. That's all you have to do, right? Like that's and half just the scroll. Battle there. And just scroll and then trial and error and try and find as much information on those sort of places that you can. But yeah, I mean, social media for sure is going to be a highlight reel. I always say people should be discerning when they're taking in information. I mean, there's definitely sponsored posts and content, and I've done those as well, especially even talking about, you mentioned that there's companies that have come out of the pandemic in that way, which I do think is great. I mean, there's maybe those people were resellers themselves, but then they realized, hey, maybe I could purchase large lots of liquidation, break it up into smaller batches and sell it to people. And there's some really good companies out there, you know, and there's maybe companies that aren't as great and... But then also I encourage people when they get a palette that is not as promised, then you file for a refund. I mean, you ask for a refund, you do all the steps, file a charge back with your credit card company, do all the things, you know?
Yeah.
Pay for only what you said or what you were being sold. So there's that.
It's true. At the end of the day, we're a business. And I think we tend to lose that in the community sometimes because it's fun. Right. Sourcing is fun. The thrill of the hunt is fun when you're doing it that way. And we kind of forget, like, it's not play money. It's real money that you're using. And for some people, that money means that they need to pay their mortgage. And if something was a flop, well, now they can't.
Yes.
And it's a real thing for a lot of people who do this. And it's just so easy when you're having that fun to forget that. And I think as a community, we probably should all do a better job of displaying that. Yeah, it's not always sunshines and rainbows and butterflies and all those wonderful things. Like, it's a lot, and it's tiresome. And there's a lot of times you lose money, a lot of money, and there are times you make lots of money. I mean, it's business is a gamble at all times.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And I've made a lot of bad decisions.
But then it makes you better. I mean,
oh, absolutely. I know what I won't do next time, or I know things to look for or think about. I mean, whether it be right in regards to buying a pallet or just lessons learned shopping at the thrift store or the bins, you think like, oh, I bought these things because they're cute. They didn't sell. Maybe I shouldn't buy things because they're cute, right? Or I bought these things because somebody said that they buy them and it sells well for them, but it doesn't sell well when I try and sell it. Won't make that mistake again. So yeah, there's a lot of things that you just kind of, I don't know. It's like learning the hard way sucks, but it's also the best way to learn.
It is. And when we had first met, you were exclusively a bin shopper. So like,
yeah,
you transitioned into pallet life. And now that the pandemic is, we're going to say it's over. Wait, we've got the official word. Right. It's done.
They did
now.
Say, yeah, yes, they did make it's that official. Announcement. Yes.
Would you say you're now like a hybrid? Do you do liquidation and bins? You were like a big, I'm never going to thrift stores because their prices are crazy and I love the bins. Like, where are you at?
Yeah, and I don't want to go back to them. I still feel that way.
Guys, there's a landscaper in the background if you can hear it.
Oh, I can't hear anything. Perfect. Nor can I see them. We're doing video here. Okay. Well, yeah, for thrift stores, it's just a for fun thing for me. If I go into one, it's more just I'm looking for myself. Yeah. Or if, you know, if I come upon something amazing, like I'm not going to turn it down.
Right.
Yeah. So I do have still some unprocessed inventory that I'm working my way through because I came upon some great opportunities during the pandemic to take in large amounts of liquidation if purchased all at once. And so, yeah, so I have had a lot of inventory to kind of work through. But once I'm kind of worked through that, which I'm nearing-ish the end, I say that loosely, my hope is to be back at the bins. I love shopping at the Goodwill outlet. I love, you know, just the pay by the pound, the thrill of the hunt, all that sort of thing. You can't beat the sort of items that you can find there. Is it backbreaking work? Absolutely. So, and it's not for everyone. I totally understand that. I know that there'll definitely be a handful, if not the majority handful of people who listen to this who say, ooh, I went one time and it is not for me. I don't like it. I totally get that. It's not for everybody. But I really enjoy it and it's fun. There is a sense of community there. Sure, there's competition as well, but yeah, it's you never know what you're gonna get. It's like the Forrest Gump thing, you know.
It's true. I think it's so funny because I love going to a traditional thrift store. It's because my experience at the bins is different than I guess. Let me correct what I'm saying. I source very specific items, so when I go to the bins, it's really hard for me to like get into it. Do you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And I've tried numerous times, and it has nothing to do with the bins itself, because the grind is fun. I'm not going to lie. That grind is a lot of fun to like dig and keep digging and find all these amazing pieces. But when your business model is circled around specific items to meet a certain price point, because you only have X amount of time to spend on the business, right? It all comes down to time. Well, the bins isn't necessarily going to be my place to go unless I have a bins that's like got top tier things coming in all the time. Do you know what I mean?
Oh, totally. I understand. Because if I was short on time in my life, then I don't know. I mean, you know, I probably still would go to the bins. But for most people, I don't know if that would be the best decision for them if they have other responsibilities or things in their life that they care about. Because when you shop at the outlet, the more time that you spend there, the better, right? Because you're going to see more rotations come out. And so really, yeah. It is about spending a good amount of time there. And if your time is precious and you know you're looking for certain things, if you've built a business where you're looking for dresses only, you're mm-hmm. going to have no guarantee that you hit dresses the day or time that you're at the outlet. Right. You are at the mercy of the blue bins.
Right. And I think that's where I struggle with the bins. I admire people that can go to the bins. Like, your bins are pretty good. I've seen when people pick up at your bins, and your bins are pretty good. They you are. Know,
I mean, okay, it might be better than, like, they are good, but I've gone to other bins before, and other people have good bins, too. I think it's just subjective. I think it's, again, social media, right? It's a highlight
this is
reel.
True. This is true. This is true. But I feel like maybe your bins do more rotations. Your bins, I feel like, have, so you're in an area where there's lots of stuff. Not, there's mm-hmm. not lots of stuff other places, but like, for example, the New Hampshire bins, very different vibe. Mm-hmm. And rotations are very different, and they've changed even more since the pandemic. And a lot of the stuff you're going to find there is outdoorsy. So you're going to find ice skates and rollerblades, and you're going to find LL Bean everywhere. And like, not my vibe. I have found amazing things there, but not my vibe. If you want to find some good home goods stuff, they've got it. Like, it's just mall brands or like a lot of the items that maybe I would have picked up when I first started. Great place to start to go there. But as I've evolved over the years, I went, I don't know, I'd say maybe it was like a year ago, the last time I went, and I was in and out in a half hour because I have realized while I was there, like, It's just not it right now. And I'm just going to go to the Sabres down the street, and I'm going to head back home and go into Boston and like spend my time over there instead, because I'll be able to find those items that I really need. And I'm going to pay more. I mean, there's no doubt about it. When you're going into these consignment stores and thrift stores, you're paying a lot more, but at least I'm getting the things that I want. And I know that in the 6 hour time frame that I have, that I'm doing this road trip, I'm going to get the things that I need. I'm going to come home and I'm gonna be happy. And I'm not happy when I'm at the bins. So, but that doesn't mean I won't test out other bins, because like you said, every state is different, and we don't have one in Massachusetts right now. It was shut down, and I don't know if they're ever reopening. And so the next one would be Connecticut. And I've heard, you know, I've heard mixed things about it, but I have never experienced it. So I'll experience it just to say that I did, but I can't say that like, that's my business model.
Yeah. And I think what you were saying, you know, when you said that your bins has a lot of outdoors stuff, I mean, ours does too, right? Because Pacific Northwest over here, right? So, I mean, so much Columbia. Like, Columbia coming out my ears, you know? Yep. Whereas maybe somebody in California or Florida might be like, whoa, you get Columbia North Face? And we're just like, yeah, and, you know, why? Is that good? But honestly, if I could think about something people should do, or I would do differently, is maybe lean into that stuff. You know, I spent a lot of time when I first started reselling really focused on brands that other people mentioned. And I didn't take into account that Denali, they live on the other side of the country from you in a totally different climate. You're never going to find those brands, or it's going to be so few and far between. And in the meantime, I was passing up stuff that was really great. But for me, I'm just like, it's just North Face and Columbia, you know, like it's whatever, you know, but people buy it. People are looking for it. And so I wish I had maybe leaned in more to that. But in the same breath, I think there's also something to really selling what you enjoy and what you like. And for you, because your time is limited and you have to, and I'm just making assumptions here, but you have to want and feel motivated to do this work, because it is not
your not assumption. You know me.
Okay. Primary source of income. You probably want to have in your store and closet things that make you smile and things that make you happy and things that are beautiful and whatever in that way. And so, you know, a brown on brown Columbia jacket isn't going to cut it for you. Yeah, it's not going to cut it for you, even though you could probably go to the bins and come home with five of them today.
I think you learn that as you grow as a reseller. And it also depends on your circumstance. So, you know, for you, it's very different. Those bread and butter pieces are very important to your business, because that's basically the glue that, keeps it together, that keeps the money always flowing. Where for me, my glue is different, because this is this isn't primary income for me. I still rely on the income, but it's a very different reliance than you.
Yes.
And so I'm looking for that mid-tier stuff that's like that $48, $50 range to $75 range. That's my glue. And anything above that's amazing. When I sell things lower than that, I'm like, I'm wasting my time. The time I spent sourcing, the time that I photograph, the time that I'm shipping, all of that is a waste of time to me.
Another day is here and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
And I think as you grow as a seller, you figure out what path you want to take and what makes the most sense for you. And there's no right or wrong. We were talking about this before we came on, like with the whole live selling thing. If that is working for you and that has become your glue to your business, then keep doing it. Like, don't stop.
Right. I mean, I've had people ask me, you know, do you think live selling is the way to go? You know, especially when it was hot last summer, when people really were starting to sell on Whatnot, before Poshmark live shows had come around. And I think be whatever sort of seller you want to be, you know what I mean? Like if you want to do live shows and that works really well for your business, then that's awesome. Like go lean into it hard and make that your business. But if you don't want to be on camera or you just don't like that model, keep doing it the traditional way. I don't think that it's going to be necessarily oversaturated with either, because these people will break off from those people. Right now it's just, we've got these people who sell live over here, and then it freed up some space for us people who just want to sit here and draft listings. So I don't know.
And I don't think the other thing that comes up all the time too, which I'm sure people have asked you about, is do you think the live sales are taking away from the traditional shoppers that come on? And I don't think so at all, because I'm a traditional shopper and I like to search for what I want. And then once I find what it is, I'm clicking on it. I'm doing that research. I personally am not a live sale shopper. Have I gone into them and like for my own personal knowledge to see what it's all about? Yes, but I can't shop that way. It's just not me.
I mean, you know, when channels like QVC and HSN came around, did the malls close?
No.
No.
And malls are still going today.
And so is QVC. Yeah. Right. So they can coexist together. And I think that we all have somebody in our life that we could think of right now. You probably in this moment as well. Someone in your life who you know who shops on QVC.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah. I can think of somebody in my head too. And that person likes that for that reason. But I don't know a ton of people like that. Maybe a small handful. And that's awesome. They are the shoppers for that. And I'm not saying QVC shoppers are also Whatnot and Poshmark Live shoppers, but you get what I'm saying. Right, it's just a new generation of buying things differently. There are some people who like the social buying element. I just don't know that I can be trusted to make a snap decision in 30 seconds or less for myself.
Same. Yeah. Same. And I think from a selling perspective, like, I personally haven't done a show. Would I do one just to experience it? Like, I'm not going to say no, right?
But
right now in my life, it just doesn't make sense. The time that needs to be committed to it, you've done them, so you can speak to it. But like the time that it takes, the commitment that it takes, the shipping, I mean, the whole thing, it's a show. You are putting on a show.
Like, yes, literally. And I mean, you go into them and people are literally singing and dancing. It is a show. It is a whole performance. I mean, people that you'd only ever seen their profile pic are all of a sudden putting on this spectacular show for your enjoyment. Yeah, it is very time consuming, I found as well. And I did, I think, probably the most minimal prep that you would need to do with each show in terms of like inputting the items in, you know, and I wouldn't necessarily add photos or anything like that. So that could take another element of, right? And who knows if that's helps the show. It may help the show in that way. But I found myself being live for 2 hours and it's I would be done and I would be like, oh my gosh, it's like 7 o'clock at night on a Saturday night. And I don't know. I just felt like I was missing out from time that I, yeah, just time with in my life and time in my family. Mm-hmm. Because I, you know, and the thing was, is I was doing traditional selling and then the live selling as well. So it's kind of like I'm stacking all the things. So I'm not maybe allotting the time properly in my life. I guess if it's the only thing that you do, then you probably create a better schedule for yourself. But yeah, at the time, it just felt like it wasn't for me. I wasn't seeing the return on investment that I wanted. That's not to say I would never do it again or that it's not a functioning business model. I absolutely think it is. And I know people who do well at it. But it is a business model. And mm-hmm. I think you really have to create something there and build an audience and a following and people who want to shop from you. And right, because you're always looking for right now customers.
Right.
So how do you create right now customers? You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So it's tough.
It is. And I don't think there's any right or wrong answer. It's more of like you find what works for you and you just just go with it. So you mentioned time and how precious it is. And you've alluded mm-hmm. to this a few times. And I think many people who are listening are like, well, Danelle, you disappeared for a little bit. And I didn't even know what you were doing or where you were. You weren't making videos. You weren't doing your podcast. Yeah. Like, where did Danelle go?
Yeah.
She didn't go anywhere, guys.
I know. I was here. That's a sad part is like sometimes people say that to me and I'm like, but like I actually did make some videos. You just didn't watch them, but that's okay. I my feelings are not hurt. I swear. Yeah. I remember one time somebody like said that to me. I saw them in person and they're like, oh, how come you don't make videos anymore? And I think I like just posted one the prior week. And I was like, yeah, I don't know. No, I definitely pulled back on content. You know, I started a podcast. We started our podcast
around the same time.
Right around the same time. Yeah, mm-hmm. exactly. And I went hard on that podcast for, I think, almost 2 years.
I'd say about 2 years. Yeah.
Yeah.
About 2 years.
And darn near every week, you know, which is, as you know, it's
a lot
of work. It's a lot of work. It is not just the time Danielle and I are spending here together, right? Yeah. Because we talked before we started recording. Yes. We may talk after we end recording and Correct. Not that we don't enjoy each other's company, but right. That's just more time added to this recording mm-hmm. time that we've allotted for ourselves. And then there's the editing and all the back end stuff. So anyways, you know, and I like making YouTube videos and I like posting content on Instagram. And then a couple years ago, I started posting on TikTok and I enjoy the creative outlet of content creation, whether I'm good at it or not, I enjoy it and I enjoy engaging with others and sharing helpful information. But I know I spread myself too thin in those ways. And a couple of years ago, when I stopped recording episodes of the podcast, I just kind of got burnt out and I wasn't managing things very well. And I felt like I wasn't in a good mental health space. I've had challenges just like anybody would in their life with, you know, family members, like, you know, health issues and stuff like that. And that takes a toll on you. And then remembering to also be Danelle, the human who had a life outside of reselling before 2017, you know, I won't lie, like that part of me that had hobbies and did things has been muted for a lot of years. Because it had to build the business that I wanted to create. And so I now started recording podcast episodes again. And I was telling Daniela that I was nervous to start doing it again because I didn't know how I came back to it other than hitting record and just hitting publish. But I had ended the podcast suddenly and I never said I was done. And I'm glad I never said I was done. Because it left me a space to come back. And I hope people are enjoying it now that I've been back. And I haven't changed the format, really. I always joke with every interviewee that same 6 questions every time. I mean, we'll play with them, but, you know, it's a fairly predictable format. But what I love about it is that I love hearing people's backstories and learning more about them, which I'm sure you can relate to as well. And I think that's some of my HR background coming into it as well. I just really enjoy hearing what people have done in their life, not just reselling, but it's like, what are the jobs that you did prior to this?
Right.
Because it all led you to this.
Correct.
You know what I mean? There's always mm-hmm. something in there that it's like, oh, interesting. And I could see how that would help you with your business today. Like, you know, whether it had to do with anything regarding retail or what, you know, could be whatever, you know, so many people have had so many interesting jobs. Yeah. So anyways, it was kind of, I guess, a little bit of a mental health break, but yeah, I guess I'm back.
But she never went anywhere. That's
no, I really didn't go anywhere. Truthfully, it's just, I, you know, your algorithm is not favoring me, unfortunately.
That's what happens when you stop posting, you stop doing anything. The algorithms just don't like you until you start getting consistent.
You know, and the truth is that what I've learned, you know, doing content creation is just people have to engage with your content to mm-hmm. see your content, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, you have to hit like. Like if you like somebody's stuff, like actually hit the like button, because then you'll see it more frequently, or you'll see content related to that, right?
Right.
So if somebody posts something informational on Instagram and you're like, oh, wow, that was like really helpful, you know, hit the like button, because not only will you see more from that person, but it will give you content from other people, creators, whatever you want to call yep. them, that is similar to that. So it'll continue to engage in that way. So if when you log on to social media, you feel like I don't ever see things that interest me, it's because you're not hitting the like button.
Right. And it's just kind of
guessing. Or leaving a comment. It is. Yeah. It really kind of is guessing, because then it's now they're relying on probably, this is me just making assumptions about how these platforms work, but how long you're staying and looking at a photo.
Right.
Right.
What are you actually searching?
Right. Yeah. When you scroll, when you stop scrolling, how long do you stay looking mm-hmm. at that photo or mm-hmm. whatever? So I have to imagine some of that gets taken into account. And so now they're just kind of making guesses as to what sort of stuff that you like.
Yeah, just like when you search a brand and then all of a sudden it's on your Instagram feed. It's because you looked at it in Google and now they know.
Yes, yes. Or I had a funny moment the other day. My friend Liz, who does repair work for me here at the warehouse, she and I were talking about movies and stuff. And so we were talking about Nicolas Cage, the actor. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And then all of a sudden I open up my phone and it was just like something about Nicolas Cage. And I was like, are you kidding me? I was like, they didn't even listen, because we were saying we weren't sure if we liked him as an actor. Yeah. So
why are you showing me him?
Yeah, exactly.
It's so wild how that happens. Technology's yes. just moved in a totally different direction. And now with AI too, like, I'm always curious how it's going to be integrated within the reselling community, because I think there's a lot of opportunity for AI mm-hmm. in the reselling community, whether that's with making your descriptions, whether that's with mm-hmm. photo recognitions. I know I had heard the grapevine. I don't know how accurate this is, because I'm not in the inn with the Poshmarkers, but I did hear that they're going to try to come out with like a Google Lens for Poshmark. And I think that's smart, because now a buyer can scan something when they're in the store and be like, is this on Poshmark?
Okay. So here's a funny thing. A few years ago, I'm like, leave a comment in the reviews of this podcast. I don't know how people can comment to you, like leave a comment on the Instagram page for Thrifters Villa. But eBay did have a feature like this, because I used it. It was totally helpful.
Yes, eBay does have one.
Well.
Or no.
It does. I don't think it's there anymore. It's not on my app.
Oh.
I can't. There used to be that little camera.
Yep.
Now
when you hit
search.
Now it
only works for barcode. But maybe I just.
Point your camera at a barcode. Yes, it's only barcode.
It's only barcode. But for a small period in time, you could take a photo of something in the wild. Yes. And it was awesome. So that technology definitely exists, and great. I hope come on.
They got to do something.
I mean, that's some low hanging fruit. Come on. Like get on the technology for that one.
But step one, like before even Posh shows, can I just have someone to talk to?
No. I mean, it's not my answer, but it's theirs. Yeah. The answer is no.
I want the bare minimum.
You know what?
I don't want fancy features.
You say that and you mention AI, and you know what you're going to get? An AI bot.
That's exactly what's going to happen.
An AI bot. Maybe we'll settle for it. That's fine.
If it can answer my questions, great.
Right, exactly. That's so true. No, I think, you know, I don't know about you in terms of your AI usage in reselling, but I use it in in my business life. I use like ChatGPT. I'm guessing that's probably what we're talking about. I've used it for optimizing titles of YouTube videos, or you know, you could use, like you mentioned, a description for an item, right? You can just go into ChatGPT and say, I've got a J. Jill linen blazer, size 14, purple. Can you write me a SEO-friendly, exciting title that will appear to buyers? And it will spit you out that thing, that title, or that description, right? You can say, like, write me a one paragraph or two paragraph description. You can say, give me five different options of one paragraph description. I love it. Oh my gosh, it's so helpful.
It is. And I think it's pros and cons, right? Like, cons if you're a teacher, because kids are just gonna try to write papers off of it, right?
I can't even imagine.
So that's one big con. I think that there's a lot of plagiarism that can happen.
Sure.
And people not really doing the work. But I think in terms of business, it's helpful to just type that in, because it gives you ideas. You may not necessarily use what it gives to you, but there could be certain words or certain ways it describes things. You're like, oh, I would have never thought of that.
Yeah, exactly.
And then you can just kind of pluck those. I think it's so helpful, especially if you're not comfortable writing SEO titles or SEO descriptions. Mm-hmm. It's so helpful to see it. It gives you a better understanding. And AI, the crazy thing about AI is it learns. It forever evolves based off of what people are talking to it about. Mm-hmm. So the answer you get today may be completely different than a week from now, because it's learned something new. Right. I think that's the best thing about it.
Yeah, definitely. Until they destroy us, right?
Yes, stop.
That's why you have to always say please and thank you when you're typing.
Yes, Mom. Okay, so I'm gonna actually cut this episode a little short, because I'm gonna continue the conversation with Denali in the Patreon about eBay, because that was actually the main reason why she came on the podcast, was eBay last time she was on here. And I do want to talk to her about eBay and how that looks for her today. But before we end the conversation here, before we go to the Patreon group, where do you see yourself in the next few years? Do you see yourself continuing to grow the way you are, kind of sitting steady? Like, what does that look like for you?
Yeah. You know, for a while I thought, you know, when the business was just growing so much in over these past 2 years, 3 years now, whatever, I thought I had to keep growing. I thought that was like the thing that had to keep happening. I just had to keep making this bigger and bigger. And now I realized I don't know if I want that, as weird as that sounds, because the bigger it gets, the more responsibility it becomes.
Yep.
And I left, you know, my 9-to-5 job because I wanted to have more fun and flexibility in my life.
Freedom,
exactly. Mm-hmm. And I don't know that I could have that, or it would just take a lot of work, right? Because yes, you can hire people in to hopefully free you up from certain things, but then you're just overseeing a lot of people. And then that's a responsibility in itself. And just as much as I didn't want to work for someone else, I also don't want to have a ton of employees that I have to manage, right? Because that's also like, being a manager is like not the most fun job in the world.
Nope.
And so, I think I would like to continue to have a workspace that's outside of my home. My lease actually ends in a year.
Oh, okay.
I had options when I first signed my lease for, I think it was like, they initially had said 5 years. And I was like, how about 3? Because who knows, right? Like, life is unpredictable. And I'm glad I did that. So will I be in the same space that I'm in today? I don't know. But will I be in a space outside of the home? I do think so. Because I just don't know that I want to take it back there, because, you know, I was just working 24/7 photographing and all sorts of stuff when it was back at my house. You know what I mean? I just can't step away from it in the way like a healthy way.
Just because it's everywhere.
If I see it, if I see it, I'll work it. You know, doesn't matter if it's my job or yours, I'm going to do it. So yeah, I think I'll always have that, and maybe my surroundings will change, but I like reselling. This is like a fun job for me. I know for some people, which this is totally awesome, but it's a stepping stone that gets them somewhere else in their journey. But I genuinely enjoy this work. I love the thrill of the hunt. I love buying something for, you know, 50 cents. And then, oh my gosh, can you believe it sold for $150? Now that's not every sale, but how fun is it when those ones happen? You know what I mean? Right. So that's what I really love about this. And mostly at the end of the day, I just love working for myself. I couldn't go back to the traditional workforce. You know, it's just, I can't do it. I love the flexibility. It's amazing. You know, if I want to sleep in one day, I sleep in.
Right. And that's the joy
that's
of
often,
it.
Not often, but
I was gonna say, you don't sleep in that often, but okay.
No, I don't. You know what? I get 2 days a week. I get 2 days. Well, not including Saturday and Sunday. I get 2 weekdays during the week. My husband and I trade off on, you know, driving to school duties. So yeah, I do get 2 days a week, and boy, is it amazing. It's so awesome.
Well,
so I guess
so
that's
much.
Where I see myself. Yeah. Back at the bins and not working in my house.
I feel like back at the bins is what made you really love reselling to begin with.
I love it. You know, and it's kind of one of those things like if it wasn't broke, don't fix it. Mm-hmm. And it wasn't. And the bins might change, and the thrift stores might change. Their prices might change. The customers may increase, but I'm still the same. You know, I still know how it works. I'm still going to make this work for myself. So, yeah.
Good answer. And I think that everyone who's listening is probably super happy to hear this conversation because, it's one-on-one time with Denali. Everyone loves that.
Well, it's always like a nice excuse when you and I can talk. Danielle and I privately joke that we're twins because we have like...
But people confuse us all the time, which is hysterical.
We look so similar to each other. We've got our dark Italian hair. Mm-hmm. And yeah, so it's always fun when you and I get to talk. So thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
Of course. And I think that this is a good realistic look at what full-time reselling looks like and how things really did change for you in such a short period of time. And it is possible other people can do it. But there's a lot of hard work that goes into it. There's a lot of bumps in the road. But there's really great people in the community that you can look up to, that you can talk to. Like, Denali's DMs are always open. Don't ever be afraid to like...
It's too open. I hate it. No, I hate it. Like, mostly because it's just like, I want to answer everyone. You know what I mean? And I feel like crap when I don't answer people. You know? Sometimes it'll be like, I'm so sorry. Like, you sent this... Oh, God. You know, it'll be like... you
3 months ago.
Yeah. And I'm just like, just responding to it now, you know? Or sometimes I look at a message. Do you do this where you like, you respond in your head and then you close
out
the
DM? But you never type anything and then you go
back. Yes. Like, oh my gosh. I hate it. Because, you know, here's the thing. When I first started reselling, I DM'd people and I asked people questions. And, you know, some people didn't respond back to me and that's okay. But I remember, I just dropped my AirPod.
That's okay.
I remember just wanting a response, and I want to value and honor people's time. They wrote to me and I want to give them something back, even if it's like, sorry, I actually don't know the answer to that question. I just know that it doesn't feel good to be, you know, unanswered, but I apologize if I've not answered to people before. So,
but I think just the, in general, generally speaking, you are always open to helping someone navigate
through
something.
Oh yeah, if I can help, absolutely, yeah. Yeah, definitely.
That's why you're the OG, man.
Oh, well, old grandma.
That's what it is. What a mom joke.
I know. Total mom joke here.
All right, everyone, we're going to end the conversation here with Denali. I hope you guys enjoyed this episode. Jen and I will be back next week. But if you're a Patreon member, head on over. We are going to be chatting with Denali about eBay.